You're listening to The Cop Show, a podcast from the BBC. You can find out more at bbc.co.uk/collegeofproduction.
Hello and welcome to The Cop Show. How do you make award-winning breakfast radio? In this podcast, recorded at the Radio Festival 2014, the team behind The Ian Lee Show talk about how they decide which stories to run, how to get the best out of callers, and why awkward moments aren't necessarily a bad thing. Listeners, please be aware that some adult themes are covered in this podcast. Here's Ian Lee and Catherine Boyle with How to Do Radio.
Hello, yeah, I'm Ian Lee. I do a breakfast show at BBC Three Counties Radio. This is Catherine, who is my producer and kind of co-host. And, you know, when they asked us 3 months ago to do this, we thought, hey, yeah, let's call it How to Do Radio. That'll be a really good joke. And then this morning we woke up and thought, oh, that's a really shit joke. I wish we hadn't called it that. So we've got 20 minutes, and what we thought we'd talk to you about is just kind of how we do our breakfast show. It's a local radio breakfast show, BBC Local Radio breakfast show. So there are certain constrictions which we have to follow. There are also certain freedoms that we have. And we thought we'd kind of share how we decide what should be, what we think should be in the show, and how that can change as the show is going on. Do you want to give a quick kind of summary of how we decide what the set content is going to be the day before?
It used to be, didn't it, that we had 4 items an hour. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
We decided that you needed more breathing space because, you know, you don't hire Ian Lee and then confine him and make sure that he always has something to go to. The brilliant thing that Ian does is when he's got some freedom. So we now have 3 items an hour, generally. Mm-hmm. And we just do what we want. We make sure they're good, and we make sure that they're going to speak to everybody, no matter where they are. So it might be a local story, but it still matters to someone 20 miles down the road.
But the thing that I think that we do that is perhaps slightly different from some other shows, and I know that other people do it, is that if something kind of comes up in the show, and not necessarily a big breaking story, in fact, au contraire, generally something a little bit smaller, is we go with it, and we indulge it, and we play with it, as long as it's good content. It was a good word that we kind of hate, but I can't think of anything else. As long as it makes good listening, in our opinion, we'll kind of go with it and play with it. And we've got a couple of clips to highlight this. The first one is there's a caller called Jeff. What were we talking about that prompted Jeff to call in?
We were talking about whether you will know when you're too old to drive. Got a phone call in from loads of people. Well, got loads of phone calls in from people who'd had to tell their parents that they thought they might be a bit past it. And then we got a phone call from Jeff, who thought he was more than capable of driving, but it was everybody else.
So he was talking about...
He'd been reversing into oncoming traffic.
Yeah, and he drives very, very slowly. And I'm trying to ask him the question, Jeff, do you drive slowly? Mm-hmm. Do you drive really slow? Well, have a listen to it and then we'll explain. This is clip one.
These big cars are pushing you along with the headlights and some of them put their beams on to try and make you go faster. And
I flip it. I hate that. When I'm abiding or slightly below the speed limit and they're beeping me and flashing me, oh, no, sir, that's going to make me go a little bit slower.
People walk across the road, so you've got to make sure that there's no accidents.
Jeff, let's be honest. Do you drive?
Yes, I do.
No, hang on. Let me finish the sentence. Do you drive?
Yes.
No, let me finish.
Yeah.
Do you drive?
Yes, and when I go through the village, they push you along to go faster.
Okay, let me finish this. Jeff, do you drive?
Yes, I do.
Hang on. Jeff?
Mm?
Do you drive?
Yes, I do.
I know. Hang on. I'm going to get there.
Yeah.
Jeff?
Yeah?
Do you drive?
Yes, only certain journeys. Yeah, because I'm 80 years old.
Good for you. Well done, fella. But, Jeff?
Yeah?
Do you drive?
Yes, I do.
I know. There's more coming.
Yeah.
Jeff?
Yeah?
Do you drive?
Yes, I do.
I know you do.
Yes, and I've only had one accident in all my time.
Well, I hope you're all right. But, Jeff?
Yeah?
Do you drive?
Yeah.
No, hang on. Do you drive?
Yes.
I know you do.
Yeah.
There's more coming.
Yeah.
Do you drive?
Yeah.
Well, that's great to know. Jeff, thanks very much for your call.
Now, there are a couple of decisions in that. First of all, because we audio-booed that, and most people got the gag. Some people said it was cruel and bullying, and I don't think it is. I think years ago, maybe when I first started on LBC and maybe a bit when I was at Virgin, Do you know, I think there may have been a little bit of element of kind of bullying and cruelty in some of the stuff that I did. I think now, certainly for the last, certainly since at 3CR, I do those kind of things to people who I think will take it for what it is. There's not any nastiness is implied, and if anyone picks up on that, then I'm sorry, but it's kind of meant to be done as a friendly joshing. Why did you put Jeff through? Because you're there in the other studio with Kelly, who answers the calls as well. Yeah. What made you put Jeff through?
When Jeff phoned up, I knew, one, he was our example of someone who has no clue that what he's doing might end up in a terrible catastrophe. But also purely because he was a character. And I also felt that he was so into his story. I mean, I had to stop him several times from telling me the whole story over and over again. But I just knew that he would be a corker, and I knew you would handle him right. But what I love about working with Ian is that you know just how far to push it. I mean, actually, you do push it further than most people would.
Yeah.
When do you decide to stop it?
I like doing it until it's doing it while it's funny, and then it stops being funny, and then you just go that little bit further, and it kind of comes around on the arc, and it starts being funny again. And I kind of like doing that. I can normally tell. Quite quickly these days, from doing a show at LBC, when people are going to go with it and when you can have a little bit of fun with them. You can kind of pick up a vibe. And I get it wrong sometimes, but you can kind of pick up a vibe. I guess it's just when it stops being funny for me. Now, what's interesting is because you are the producer and one of Catherine and co-host, and one of Catherine's many roles is to kind of jog me on in the ear if I'm getting too angry, if I'm going too far with something. And I've had producers... Who would have let me do that 3 or 4 times, then would have flicked and said, right, Ian, let's move on now. Why did you let me go on doing that?
Because it was funny. Because it was funny. I've also been a presenter, and I think it's the timing of things. It was like it was like tennis, wasn't it? And I think that the rhythm of it was just right. I'm not going to interrupt that, you know. If it had gone on for much longer, then I might have given you the eyeball roll, and then it would have stopped, wouldn't it?
You do a really patronising
hand raise. Yeah, he hates
that,
apparently. I found out yesterday.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, I think that generally I know you well enough and you know me well enough that I don't need to do the hand. I can generally just give you the look.
And that's kind of the thing, because in essence, it's a story that comes up loads about should old people be allowed to drive, should old people have to take driving tests, you know, all of this. And for us, there are perennials that you kind of find yourself doing, although I will never do, should we bring back hanging, should we legalise drugs? Oh, fuck me, that's so boring. The legalised drugs thing, all you get is a stoner going, yeah, man, I think you should legalise it. And someone going, no, I don't think you should legalise it. OK, well, that gets us nowhere. But with this kind of thing, it's kind of a perennial that does pop up, and it's a way of just making it a little bit different and a little bit more interesting for people, because people will have heard that I think there are only so many debates you can have in on a phone-in radio show. And quite often... we don't come up with that twist or that question until we're maybe half an hour into the show, when a caller will trigger something or one of us will go, oh, this is the way we should take it. Mm-hmm. And as a, because there are some producers who like to, who can spend an hour on one question, and that's great, that works for them, it doesn't work for us, but what does that not concern you sometimes, going in with a little bit of a blank sheet? Sometimes.
No, because I'd rather hear other people's experiences. You know, there are some producers that, while listening to that, will be on the phone to the AA or the RAC to get an expert on it. Mm. Actually, you want people's gut reactions who are listening, because they're listening to Jeff, and yeah, it's funny and everything, but they're hearing their dad or their granddad, aren't they, or their mum. And there were people that rang us up and had some pretty hard conversations with members of their family, and I'd rather hear that than, you know, Lord love him, Edmund King of the RAC, although he's fantastic.
He's fantastic, but yeah, I think there's quite often there is a reliance... And this is one of the things we've tried to instill at the Three Counties. There is a reliance on, hey, let's get an expert on.
Because that's content, isn't it?
Yeah, it is content. You're right. And I kind of, generally, the second half hour per hour of the show, man, we forgot to bring the clocks with us, didn't we? The second half hour of the show will kind of be empty, which is a little bit of a gamble. But I like that flying by the seat of your pants thing. Hopefully we'll get some calls. We've also got Justin, our reporter, who will be out and about speaking to some interesting people, and he's brilliant. He's made getting voxes a real art form. You know, he'll get us a minute and a half, 2 minutes of just unique audio that will certainly drive the debate. Or us kind of thrashing it out on air. Catherine, as well as producing, comes on the air a lot and we kind of argue about stuff.
Yeah, it's the thinking out loud moments, it's the unguarded moments that might trigger something fantastic. Mm. And I think with our second clip, we've got an example of that, haven't we?
Yeah, set this up. Why are we talking about this?
We had a conversation, we had a piece that we'd arranged to do. This was about some taxi drivers in Milton Keynes, wasn't it? It had been revealed that the mayor of Milton Keynes had to step down because he had personally vouched for the character of a taxi driver who transpired had been responsible for a series of very violent rapes.
Yeah, very unpleasant gentleman.
So we had the conversation about, when we spoke to a number of local politicians, would you let your daughter or your wife get into the back of a taxi in Milton Keynes? It transpired that actually Milton Keynes isn't on its own with this kind of regulation or lack of regulation of who's driving taxis. And so we got talking about whether there are ever any offences that mean, even if you've served your time, you should never be allowed to do that kind of one-to-one job. It's a massive position of trust to put someone in. And actually, is that like putting them back in the sweet shop?
And it was quite a nice thing. You got some quite extreme views of that. You got people saying that all sex offenders should be locked up. You know, a couple saying they should be hanged. A couple saying that they should never work again. And then I got a whisper in my ear, again from Catherine, who saying, we've got a call coming up. Cut what you're doing short now. I think I was talking to a guest. Cut what you're doing now, because this call is going to be great. And you have to go to it now. What was going on when that call was taken?
We were talking to a guy who was very, very nervous and actually wanted us to pass on a message, which, you know, it sounds great on phone and radio, doesn't it? This guy doesn't want to talk to you, but this is what he's saying. We managed to persuade him to come on. And his story, we just knew that there was more to it than what he was giving us. He'd had some sort of conviction in the past, and he was
sexual conviction, but he was non-specific.
Yeah, and he didn't want to, you know, use his real name and all that sort of stuff. But I just knew if we put him off and put the phone down to him, he might be a bolter. So I said, right, we've got to go to this now. We'll go to it as quick as we can. It was before a junction as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, so there's a chance we're going to have to miss the news, which I think we did miss the 7:30 news in the end. But that before we play the clip,
this is the tail end of quite a long conversation,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, but that's, again, that's quite a brave thing to do, to go, do you know what? We're going to take a call now. Because you're never going to be sure it's going to be a good call. They might sound great chatting to you and Kelly, but when they come on, they might be rubbish. Also, a gamble that we might might have to drop the news in the travel, which is kind of a no-no. Although, I'm lucky that we have a boss that never tells us off for that. She trusts our judgment on that. But still, there are some producers who have said, right, we're going to go to him. We're going to go to him in 10 minutes. We can't do him now. But you,
or I would have insisted that I spoke to him as well as Kelly. But I think if we might spook to him at that point. Yeah. So I trust Kelly absolutely. She's been doing this for an awfully long time. She never let us down before.
Right.
Let's have a go. So, and I trust you. I know that if something unexpected came along, you could ride it out.
It said his name was John. Obviously, it wasn't. So this is the end of a long conversation, and he's talking about people who have committed sexual offences. They should be given a second chance. He has said that he's been in prison for a sexual offence, and at the beginning, he said something really quickly and really quietly that I picked up. I clicked it straight away, and I thought, right, I'm going to store that. I will come back to that in about 10. I'll come back to that later.
Because he kept talking about what he had done, and then he would talk about what was supposed to have done, what they accused me of, and he kind of kept flip-flopping between whether he'd done it or not.
He was very vague about the sexual offence. He didn't say anything apart from one clue he dropped right at the beginning. So this is coming towards the end of the phone call. Let's have clip two, please.
What do you think about what happened?
I think I was in the wrong area, wrong situation, wrong time. I was in the wrong place.
Did you commit a sexual offence against a child?
No, I didn't.
Yet the CPS and the legal system found enough evidence to send you to prison for 12 years, and you've admitted yourself this morning that you've had to undergo a lot of rehabilitation to kind of tame those impulses.
Yes. Basically, when you're in prison and you go and you get into a rehabilitation, but to get yourself through the prison service, if you haven't done these certain courses or sat and done through rehabilitation courses in the prison service, that goes against you.
Would it be fair to say, John, that you've learnt to say the right things to kind of get your freedom? You've not actually changed in any way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
What he said at the beginning that was the clue is he said, well, you get some people who've committed sexual offences against women or boys and kind of never mentioned the children again. And what became clear is that he'd been sentenced to 12 years. He'd served 12 years, I think, because I don't know how long the sentence was. It was obviously a very serious crime. He felt that he'd been set up, but as a result, he has friends who keep him away from schools and from sweet shops. We're all sat there and we're all going, fucking hell, yeah. This is incredible. What were you thinking as this story was unfolding?
Well, I was thinking, right, we're going to find out what's happened here. And I thought it was really interesting how, you know, you managed to, from that tiny little speck of, hang on a minute, what did he just say? You managed to get him to say that out loud. And then, of course, the conversation began about rehabilitation of paedophiles. Mm. And then we had a phone call from a woman who was talking about how her children had been abused 30 years before and how it was still affecting her even now. Mm. You know, because some people were saying, oh, well, it was a historic offence, it happened a long time ago, it's probably all right now. And she was sort of saying, well, it's not all right for me. 30 years on, it still feels pretty fresh.
And we had loads of people. I mean, this guy was obviously, I make up, was clearly in denial. You know, it sounds like he did commit something quite heinous. But he was saying, I have learnt to play the system, and I said what I needed to say to get out. And so because of that call, we dropped the news, we dropped the travel. I think that call went on for maybe about 10, 12 minutes in the end. It was quite a long phone call, and I wouldn't normally keep them that long, but
He just kept dripping bits more, didn't he?
And it was really slow, and I let him speak. And it was that kind of thing where, it's humbling, I think, that people trust you enough to call in and kind of confess or share their inner selves with you. But also, it's just that thing of not going in too hard and not being judgmental, but not saying, oh, you're a dirty pervert, you know, get off my... You know, it was that thing of, actually, this story is so interesting, it's kind of worth teasing out and not sound... And towards the end, I got a little bit more judgmental, but not too... But again, I think we dropped a couple of hits on another story as well.
Yeah. And actually, the people that we were supposed to be going to were listening and completely understood why we were doing that.
Why do you think that more presenters and more producers... And I know that lots do. I'm not saying, hey, this is just us that do it, and it's not right for every kind of show. But for me, radio is exciting when things are kind of happening and changing mm-hmm. off the hoof. But why do you think that more producers don't like doing that? We've got that GNS booked at 7:52. We've got to hit that.
It's the equivalent of showing you working out when you're a kid. You know, I might not get the sum right, but I've shown that I'm working really, really hard. Actually, sometimes the best radio is when you sit back and actually listen to it and think, right, OK, where does this feel like it should be going, rather than, right, on paper, we're supposed to be doing this, let's stick to this, so it looks like we're working really hard. I just think that's so important that maybe it's because, you know, my background was in presentation as well.
Does that make a difference? Because you did.
I'm thinking of it as a show. Yeah, I'm thinking of it as a show.
Yeah.
What would I like to hear? I think that makes a difference.
Do you know what? We've got like 2 minutes left. I don't know if anybody wants to ask us any questions or anything. If you don't want to, we can nick off early and go to the Coronation Street set. So
which we are doing.
That's our plan for the. I think there's a hand up. There's a hand right there. Oh, what, you sat right in the middle of all places. I think that gentleman's going to lean over and give you. A microphone. Hello.
I just wondered what the editorial considerations that were going through you as the producer's mind about that call were.
We didn't name where he was. We didn't give his real name. I was listening at all points for any sort of specifics. That's kind of it, to be honest. That is kind of it, you know. I think we know each other well enough to head things off, don't we?
Yeah, I've had my fingers burnt enough in the past to know kind of what the limits are. And also, you have to make a judgment call that it's a genuine call. And I think that genuinely, we're really good at detecting pranksters pretty quickly.
Yeah, no, normally they're doing a voice.
Do a voice. Hello, I am Lord Elsford. We get people like that. But yeah, it was a brave call to do.
A lot of it's instinct though, isn't it?
I think that's kind of it. I guess that the message, if there is a message, is we do a radio show that we'd really like to listen to ourselves. And if something isn't working or something kind of more exciting comes up, more exciting, I don't know what the right word is, let's use exciting for the moment. Something more exciting comes up, then our suggestion would be don't be afraid to kind of follow that and go with it.
I think. A lighter touch on the rudder isn't always a bad thing.
That is the best. A lighter touch on the rod isn't always a bad thing. Listen, you've been very polite, so thank you for listening to our name ramblings. I hope you enjoy the rest of the day. You've got some good stuff coming up. Thank you very much. See you later.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more highlights from the Radio Festival and plenty more on all aspects of radio production, please visit the College of Production website. Just search for BBC College of Production. And for all the latest news, do follow us on Twitter. We're at BBC Cop. That's at BBC COP.